Well, praise the Lord again, everybody. We're going to get started right away. I've got a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of ground. So, Lord, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. In our minds and hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, last I spoke on the... Actually, I think I gave you guys a memory verse on the... Seven attributes of wisdom. What was that, Mary Rivers? I know you all did that the week after, but it's been 5 weeks or so now. So, what was the memory verse? Anybody? Anybody help me out? We're going to stay here until somebody gets me that memory verse. Because I am going to do another Bible class today, and we need to make sure that these things are effective. James 3:17, anybody remember? Okay, just look it up in your Bible. Can you put it up for us in the back? James 3:17. All right, there you have it. So let's say it together. For the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So those were the seven attributes of divine wisdom. But today, and I cannot finish it, I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't mean this service being long. I mean, how, you know, so it's going to be, I'm starting on the seven pillars of wisdom. That's different from this. And, you know, I wish I could just take one service to go through one pillar and just... Now, I did send out a note this morning that people should bring something to take their notes. Did anybody see my note on the WhatsApp this morning? You see my notes? Okay, well, let me see your notepad. Because I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures. You know, so this is not something that you can't just hide it in your brain without writing it down. So that's why I encourage people, and I want to encourage you, take notes when you come to church. You know, especially when you're doing a Bible class. So I'm doing a Bible class today, not really preaching. You know, sometimes when I preach, I can take just one verse and preach on it for 45 minutes. That's not the case today. And that's not the case when I do this series. You know, so you need to follow. And, you know, there will be some... Let me explain the way I'm going to do this. Again, this is the seven pillars of wisdom. And I'm going to take them one at a time, however far we go, until we finish it. You know, so I believe that we'll have recordings. You may need to go back and listen, and so on and so forth. The introduction that I want to give this morning before I get started is, look, let's read right away from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. I want to give an introduction. It says, wisdom hath builded her house, and she has hewn out her seven pillars. So that's where the text is taken from. Well, there are two things I want to point out. Well, actually, three things in this short verse. The first thing is wisdom. The second one is her house. And the third one is her seven pillars. So, we're going to be covering all of that. But I'm focusing on the seven pillars. But before I do that, let me tell you, because this is a house that he talked about. Let me give you the symbolism of a house. A structure like this. And you can ask our structural engineers. I'm not, but I know this is the fact. It's held up by pillars or something they call load-bearing columns. You know, so it's held up like that, you know. And if those load-bearing columns are weak, then you're going to start seeing cracks throughout the house. Now, if you see cracks, it may not necessarily be the cement or the plaster that's actually causing the problem. It's coming most of the time from the pillars. As a matter of fact, when my house was built many years ago, the one we are living in now, They explained something to me and they said, look, you know, when the house begins to set, and our house has basement, they put iron, they put rocks, they put concrete. I was there when they were doing it, you know, to support it. And they told me that when the house begins to set, you know, that some of the pillars might shift a little bit, you know, and during that shifting, you might see some cracks. You know, I never paid any attention to that at that time until, you know, when I started to consider teaching this. And I remember that, you know, those cracks can come from either the weakness in the pillar or the absence of it. You know, so there are many lives. Now, we consider our life here as a house. There are many lives that have cracks. Cracks. You know, and it could be because the pillars are either out of joint or broken or not even there in the first place or not there correctly. So, these cracks, unless they are fixed, and to fix them, you have to go back to your pillars. These cracks can lead to a lot of things like regrets, delays, disappointments, failures, sickness, lack of advancement, even several kinds of losses, job loss, finance loss, wealth loss, and even, you know, broken marriages and things like that. You know, because the pillars are either out of place, they are weak, or they are not even there. You know, so. Now, because Wheelstone builded her house on seven pillars, you might probably listen to a lot of people preach on this. They will have various opinions on what those pillars are. You know, this is my own teaching right now. You know, so I'm going to go through first quickly what those seven pillars are, and then I'm going to take them one by one. I will also give you an acronym that may help you remember. And then here's what I'm going to do. I am going to explain each pillar from the Bible, and I'm also going to use dictionary explanation. Then I'm going to bring it to real life application. And then I'm going to say whatever else the Lord wants me to say. And finally, as I present each pillar, I have some prayer points that relate to that prayer. I mean, that pillar that we are going to pray about. Does everybody get the flow?
Yeah.
You over there, you get the flow. Man or girl, you get the flow. So, over here, you get the flow. The flow is, I'm going to introduce the pillar. I'm going to describe what it is. I'm going to give a lot of examples from the Bible. Scriptures from the Bible. So it's not, you're not just based on my eloquent speech here. And then I am going to also even use dictionary definitions. Then I'm going to bring it together to real life applications. And then at the end of each pillar, I have some scriptures related to that pillar that we are going to use as prayer point. Can you say praise the Lord? It's going to take us a long time to cover all of this. So this is the introduction. I'm going to take it slow. You know, I'm going to take it slow. Slow means I'm not going to try to give all the pillars in one lesson. You know, but in each lesson, I may go quickly through the scriptures. All right. So having said that, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to read verses 12 to 14. And I want to tell you that, you know, it talks about I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Many people have, you know, quoted this as, you know, the foundation for the pillars. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And verse 14 also says that counsel is mine and sound wisdom and understanding and I have strength. You know, so in this scripture, it's talking about a lot of things, a lot of these pillars. You know, but I'm going to go to other scriptures to bring out these seven pillars that I'll be talking about today. So here are the pillars that I will be talking about today. The first one, well, maybe not today, but I will give all the seven pillars. And I may maybe do only two of them today. The pillars that I will be talking about, and this is my own version, You know, the pillars that I'll be talking about, the first one is the fear of the Lord. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to talk about prudence. Then number three, I'm going to talk about knowledge. And then number four, I'm going to talk about counsel. And number five, I'm going to talk about understanding and insight. You know, sometimes you may not find the word on insight in the Bible, but understanding in some translations, depending on which version you are reading, you know, call it understanding, call it insight. So I'm going to group that together, understanding and insight. That's number five. Then number six, I'm going to talk about discretion. Then number seven, I'm going to talk about sound judgment, which he calls here sound wisdom. You know, but you can't use wisdom to describe wisdom. So in a better translation, it's actually sound judgment. So those are the seven pillars. So let me stop right here. Since this is a Bible class, what are the seven pillars? According to my own lesson here. The fear of the Lord is number one.
Prudence.
Number two.
Knowledge.
Counsel.
Understanding
and insight.
Discretion.
Sound judgment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I have an acronym that may help you. I like acronyms. It helps me remember things. You know, it's not in the order in which I related it. The order in which I related it is the order in which I'm going to present the pillars. But I have this acronym that may help you. As long as you remember them, or doesn't matter the order. So I have this acronym. It's called KUPDCSF. KUPD, isn't there like a radio station in Arizona that's KUPD? I think I've heard a radio station here called KUPD. You know, I don't know what kind of music they play there. But KUPDCSF. Everybody say KUPDCSF. Now, like I said, that's not the order, but I just kind of moved it around so that it's be easy on the tongue. So, KUPDCSF, those are the pillars that I'll be talking about. All right, let me go straight to the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm going to have a lot of scriptures, so the young man in the back, you know, please be ready to go. The fear of the Lord, number one, it is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. So that makes it a pillar. Because the beginning of something is like the foundation of it. So that's a pillar. I'm going to prove all these things from the scriptures. Now, let's read Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, 10, quickly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, I'm going to quote some of these scriptures in some one pillar, and I may quote them also in another pillar, because sometimes it mentions one or more of the same pillar, I mean, more than one of the pillars in the same verse. So, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Since you are all good students and you're taking notes, I'm going to just move through quickly. But you put it up for me quickly so I can go through. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is what? Hello? Look, it's on the screen. You don't need to scramble. Just write down the scripture. It's on the screen. Just write it down. It's on the screen. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding, you can see how in any of these verses it's putting wisdom and understanding together. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. We're going to be talking about that. Okay. So, the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of knowing the Lord. Right? Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. In this one, he talks about it a different way. Can you put that up quickly? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? You have to look on the screen, folks. The beginning of what?
Knowledge.
The other one said beginning of wisdom. This one said beginning of knowledge. Now, But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you see that knowledge is also aligned with wisdom and instruction here. But let me put it to you this way. What it means is that, you know, when a person fears the Lord, it means that they have begun to know Him. The beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is knowledge, beginning of wisdom. So when you fear the Lord, it means you have begun to know Him. Not just to know about Him. See, knowing about the Lord is something different than knowing Him. How many of you say praise the Lord? It's different, Paul in Philippians chapter 3, after many years of ministry, said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Are you saying that Paul doesn't know Him? So we'll come to that later. But that I may know Him that he was talking about, it's not just to have knowledge about Him. A lot of people, in fact, the majority, maybe 90-something% of people in the world have knowledge about God. Some people may not know who He is directly. They may say some superior being or some this or that or whatever. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about knowledge about Him. We're talking about knowledge of Him. Hello? We're going to get to that before we finish this series. The knowledge of God is different from knowledge about God. Everybody has knowledge of God. But that doesn't mean, after many years in ministry, when Paul is saying that I may know Him, then you're going to figure out what that means. So let's go to it. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, write this down. God longs for His people. He actually has a longing for their people that they will have His fear in their hearts. It's a longing. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me. Hello? If you never knew that was in the scripture, it's there. Oh, that there were a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. I told you we're going to be talking about keeping His commandments. Always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Hello? Amen. When you fear Him, it will teach you to keep His commandments. And the fear of the Lord is something that God actually longs for. When you say, it's like the psalmist said, that men will praise the Lord. They have a longing. God said, that there will be such a heart in the people that they will fear me and keep my commandments always. So actually, that means it is possible to live and walk in the fear of the Lord all the time. Hello? Because it says here, always. So we can underline that, always. All right, let's move on. Is it possible to have the fear of the Lord all the time, just like I said here, always? Let's find another scripture. Now, like I said, there are a lot of scriptures. So when you go back, you're going to have to go review all the scriptures, put it all together. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. What does it say? Let's put it up quickly. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. All the day long. Now, if it's all the day long, that means not only 24, but it's also 24 by 7 and by 365 or whatever you want to call it. And it just goes on all the day long. So it's actually possible to walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things I'll be doing as I go through these pillars, I told you the flow, but I will also be telling you the benefits. When I do the practical application, I'll be also covering the benefits of each of these pillars. Pillar of the fear of the Lord has to be sought. You have to seek after it. That's found in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 to 30. Let's put that up. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 to 30 says, for some of them, that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Next verse, he says, they would none of my counsel and they despised all my reproof. They did not choose to seek the fear of the Lord. They did not choose God's counsel. Now, all these things are mixed together. When you see one of these pillars, you will see another pillar in the same verse. You just put them together like that. So this one's talking of fear of the Lord, and it's talking of wisdom, it's talking of counsel. You know, they're all mixed up in there. You know, so, okay. Now, the fear of the Lord needs to be learned. We don't automatically have the fear of the Lord. We have to learn it, and we have to teach it to our children. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10, and Psalm 34, verse 11. Let's read Deuteronomy 10 and 4, verse 10 first. You see, the day the Lord, you know, it was Moses telling them all these things. The day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me. So, the fear of the Lord has to be learned. You can't just wake up from your being born from your mother's womb and say, I have the fear of the Lord. No. This scripture says, you know, when you hear the word of the Lord, it will teach you. You will learn to fear the Lord all the days of your life so that you live upon the earth. So, and then you will also teach it to your children. Praise the Lord. If you have children, you must teach it to your children, the fear of the Lord. You must teach it to your children. Praise the Lord. God said concerning Abraham, said, look, I know him, that he's going to command his children after me. But what is God's testimony about you? Can God say that of you? Can he say, I know him and I know her, that they are going to command their children after me? All right, let's move on. Psalm 34, verse 11. He said, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So, the fear of the Lord has to be learned and has to be taught. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? You might say, well, you know, there is no mystery about it. When you fear the Lord, it's reverential fear. It's not the morbid type of fear where you are afraid to be in his presence. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, in fact, God never wanted anybody to be afraid to be in his presence. The children of Israel chose to not have the presence. They didn't want the presence of God. When God said to them in Exodus, you know, that, you know, between Exodus 18, 19, and 20, you will see where I said to them that you will be a kingdom of priests to me. He wanted them to come and be like him. But they said, after Moses went and received the commandments and they saw the glory and the cloud and the thundering and all of this, they said, no, we don't want any part of God. You go hear God and come and tell us. And so they gave up. They basically sold their birthright. They sold their birthright. And then Moses became a prophet unto them. God never intended prophets. It was a kingdom of priests that he wanted. Anyway, it must be taught. And there must be a desire. I'm going to move on very quickly. There must be a desire for this. That's in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11. There must be a desire for, that's Nehemiah, not Jeremiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 11. There must be a desire for it. It also requires, you know, here's what it says. I beseech thee, say, O Lord, he was praying. Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name. So there must be a desire to fear the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me go through this very quickly. Now, this is very important. To fear God to keep his commandments, the Bible says it is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. That's the conclusion of everything. Fear God and keep his commandments. Remember I said we'll be talking about keeping his commandments throughout this series. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Hallelujah. If you can just summarize that in your head, you'll be good. So let's take that for today's lesson. Alright? Today's lesson, memory verse, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let's say it together. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is what? The whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Now, I'm going to go to the benefits. The benefits. I've already alluded to some of them. But I'm going to go through them very quickly. The fear of the Lord will bring you good. Always. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. It says, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, even as it is this day. Amen. Amen. And it shall be even for your righteousness. It will be counted to you for righteousness. If you observe to do these commandments, we are back to commandments again. Observe to do these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. You can't get away from those commandments. You know, that throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, everything that the Lord has spoken to man, those are his commandments. I'm not talking of 10 commandments. I'm talking about the entire Bible. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your children, listen to these promises. These are the benefits of the fear of the Lord and keeping his commandments. Psalm 102 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. 102. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. 112, please, not 102. 112. Blessed. Yeah. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. What did he say after that? Verses 2 and 3. Let's read that quickly. Verses 2 and 3. This is a promise. When you fear the Lord, and when you teach the fear of the Lord to your children, he has some promises right away. His seed, everybody say, my seed, shall be mighty upon the earth. And my generation, and the ones after them shall be blessed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
For fearing the Lord. Listen to this also. Wealth and riches. Hello? Wealth and riches shall be in the house of the one that feareth the Lord, and his righteousness shall endure forever. I mean, these are powerful promises for this pillar of fear of the Lord. And let's go on. Those that fear the Lord shall also be rewarded. It's in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13. Those that fear the Lord shall be rewarded. Let's put that up quickly and we'll go through this. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment. Remember, commandment is Genesis to Revelation. Genesis to Revelation. Why do I say that? Well, because that is the word of God. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word. So when I'm talking commandments throughout these teachings, I'm not talking of those 10 commandments. I'm talking of every word from Genesis to Revelation. Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah. There's also a promise here in the Bible that talks about, you know, the man that feareth the Lord. Let's read it quickly. eat the labor of your hands, and happy shalt thou be for fearing the Lord, and it shall be well with thee. Next verse. There's a lot of blessings out of that song. Your wife, hallelujah, shall be as a fruitful vine. You know, I was blessed of the Lord. My wife was a fruitful vine. We have many children. Hallelujah. This is the blessing of fearing the Lord. Thus shall the, he say, your wife shall be as a fruitful vine, and your children as olive plants round about your table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. So the fear of the Lord brings understanding. Psalm 104. But he also say a good understanding. Now, when I get to the pillar of understanding and insight, I wish I could take 2 weeks just on that one. You know, but suffice it to say that this understanding is incredible. We talked about it already. You know, in Psalm 1, verse 7, we talked about that. But this is also, there's an said Psalm, I meant Proverbs, sorry. Proverbs verse chapter 1, verse 7, we talked about it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, so we talked about that. But also, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 5. I said Psalm, I'm sorry, I meant Proverbs. Proverbs 2, 5. He said, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Like I told you, every time we come to these pillars in these verses, it will cross-reference some of the pillars. This one and that one, bring it together. This one's talking about the fear of the Lord, talking about the knowledge of God and so forth. You know, and I told you about that before. It brings knowledge. It brings riches, honor, and life. That is found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, and Proverbs 19 and verse 23. Let's read 24. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You can't be plainer than that. You know. And let's read Proverbs chapter. Thank you for putting that up quickly. Proverbs 19, but it's verse 23. Verse 23 is what I read. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and the person that has it shall abide satisfied. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And he shall not be visited with evil. In all these things, just of the fear of the Lord, that is why this is the number one pillar in my book. Hallelujah. Amen. Of wisdom. This is the number one pillar. The fear of the Lord is number one pillar. It's a fountain of life. You find that in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 27. You know, there are hundreds of scriptures, and I have hundreds. That's why I said, bring your paper. You know, because I don't want you to think I'm just saying this. No. We're going to go through the scriptures. We're going to see them there. You're going to write them down. You're going to refer to them later. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, and it will make you to depart from the snares of death. Can somebody say amen?
Yeah.
The devil is always trying to snare your life. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But the fear of the Lord, it will cause you to depart from those snares. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of snares that are brought on by, you know, people that don't fear the Lord. They just do things anyhow, not according to the word of God. Now, let me wrap up the fear of the Lord for you in this one thing. Concerning the word of God. Isaiah chapter 8. And verse 20. This is what I mean by the whole Bible. It says, to the law and to the testimony. It's not just Ten Commandments. The whole thing. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So you always have to go back to the law and back to the testimony throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Okay. The fear of the Lord will also bring us into holiness. I can't do this without bringing that in. You know, 2 Corinthians, we're jumping now to, you know, this one is even in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, look, inasmuch as we have all these wonderful promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the fear of God will also bring you into holiness. Praise the Lord. Now, let's give some examples in the Bible. You know, some good and some bad examples. Well, let's give the good one first. Here is Joseph. He had the fear of the Lord. The story of Joseph in chapter Genesis 39, verses 7 to 9. The wife of Potiphar was trying to seduce him. She was a seductress. Seductress. And she was trying to seduce this young man. But what did he say? He said, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, that was Potiphar's, was his master, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, will you lie with me? I was trying to seduce him. But he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, you are my master's wife. My master doesn't know what's happening in the house. He has left everything in my hand, giving me commandment of everything. The only thing he has not given me is you. Praise the Lord. Read the next verse. There is none greater than me in this house. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? He didn't say against my master. How can I then do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was the fear of the Lord for somebody. His parents were not around. His brothers were not around. He had no accountability, if you want to say it, in any sphere of human life. There was nobody there that would have judged him. It's like, if a young man were to move from Nigeria to America and he doesn't know anybody, then he can go crazy, do anything they want, because there's nobody to judge them. But that was not Joseph. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, on the flip side of that, David did not have the fear of the Lord in one particular situation. The matter of, who knows? The matter of Bathsheba and Uriah. David did not exercise the fear of the Lord. The story is too long. I'll just give you the reference. Two chapters, because it's too long. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. I'm not going to read it. It's too long. But I think everybody knows the story. If you don't know it, go and read it. David did not have the fear of the Lord. There were many things that led to, one thing led to another, one thing led to another. But if he would have had the fear of the Lord, even when he told his servants to go and call the woman, and somebody said, that is Uriah's wife, he would have stopped right there. Hello? If he had the fear of the Lord, like Joseph said, you are somebody else's wife, that's a no-go area. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That is a no-go area. Can somebody walk on coals and not be burnt? Can you put coal inside your jacket like this and you not be burnt? No! So, David did not exercise fear of the Lord, and all kinds of things happened that led to a lot of problems for him. Of course, at the end of the day, he repented. But God punished him, to show us that God doesn't take this thing lightly. Even though God said, this is the man upon whose throne I will sit. Let me tell you something. The metrics that God uses, I'm going to tell you this today. This is not part of my sermon, but I'm just going to tell you, but Holy Ghost bring to my mind. The metrics that God uses is not in anybody's hand but God. Amen. Because when God said to that devil concerning Job, have you seen my servant Job? Job didn't know what God was saying about him. It was just God revealed it so that he wrote it. God wasn't telling Job that, Job, you are my good servant. God wasn't saying that to Job. He was actually saying it behind his back. And Job may not have even known what God thought about him. But God was saying that, look, there is nobody like Job. Hallelujah. Yet when all his friends came, they criticized him up and down. They even thought it was some sin that he committed and so forth that brought that evil upon him. So the metrics that God uses, it's called divine election. You can read about it in Romans chapter 9. It talks about it in verse 15. So then it is not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we must will and we must run. But the story is that, look, when Rebecca was pregnant with twins, before the twins did any good or evil inside her stomach, God already performed the crossing of the hands.
Just like Jacob crossed the hands for Manasseh and Ephraim. You know, and he said, the elder will serve the younger. The younger will be above. And he took the birthright that should have belonged to Manasseh and gave it to Ephraim. You know, so the metrics that God uses is not in anybody's hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So don't be looking at somebody and trying to form your own idea. We already know that by their fruits you will know them. You know, that's what we see. But there are other things that are known only unto God. Known unto God are his ways from before the world began. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let's talk about Jesus. We can't say something like this, obviously, without talking about Jesus himself. You know. The prophecy of Isaiah, in the book of chapter 11 of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5, talks about Jesus. Even before Jesus came. And I'm going to show you some references in his life, according to some gospels, of how he fulfilled some of these things. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots. Bible says in Revelation, I am the root and offspring of David. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. Some people actually say might is one of the pillars of wisdom. Well, I chose to not use that. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Next verse. See, all of these things are wrapped up in here. Verse 3. And he shall make him quick in understanding the fear. Understanding, that means he has to learn it. We're going to talk about understanding, I'm going to talk about knowledge. It's a lot of learning. It's not just imputed. It's a lot of learning. And he shall make him to judge. This is sound judgment. He will not judge after the appearance of his eyes. You have sound judgment. Now, all these pillars are wrapped up inside this Jesus that was to come. Let's read the next few verses. 4 and 5, quickly. With righteousness shall he judge the poor, repute with equity the meek of the earth, and so on and so forth. You can read the rest of it. You know, that reference is Isaiah 11, 1 to 5. You know. But let's fast forward to the Gospels. Let's fast forward to the Gospels. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 2, and later on, that another pillar, I'm going to talk about how, even at age 12, they marveled at him. I reserved that for another pillar. But here, when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished. They were astonished. Say, from whence has this man these things? How did he learn these things? What is this wisdom that is given unto him? We read it in Isaiah 11. How that by learning and understanding, he will get the fear of the Lord and the spirit of wisdom will be upon him. You know. And he said, where did he get all these things from? I mean, he doesn't speak like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, where did he get these things from? And why so many mighty works wrought by his hands? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he was 100% in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen? You know, and they asked him one time, they said, by what authority do you do these things? And Jesus said, well, you know, I've been praying that God will help me to be answering question with question. Like Jesus. Hello? They asked him a question. You know, by what authority do you have these things? Jesus said, oh, hold on. Before I answer that question, I will also ask you one question. If you can answer me my own, then I will answer you your own. Hallelujah. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men? And they went away and said, hold on, we'll come back to you in a minute for that answer. So they went aside and said, if we say it was from heaven, then he will say, if it was of heaven, then why didn't you believe it? But if we say it was from men, all these people hold John the Baptist as prophet.
And we're going to be in trouble with them. They might stone us. So they came to Jesus and said, we don't know. And Jesus said, you know, actually he said, we cannot tell. And Jesus didn't say he didn't know. He knows. But he said, neither tell I you. Amen. So I don't know is not the same thing as I cannot tell. Sometimes when people ask me a question, I say, I don't know. You know, maybe the real answer is, I can't tell. You know, I cannot tell you. I may know, but you may be on a no need to know basis. Hallelujah. No need to know basis. It doesn't mean I don't know, but I'm not going to tell you. That's right. Because you don't need to know. And we are going to come to that. We are going to come to that when we get to discretion and sound judgment and some other things. The need to know. It's not everything that you know that you must tell somebody else. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. When people come to you in confidence, they tell you something. The next thing, all over the city, everybody said, there are some people, if you want to make announcement, you don't even need to go and pay for announcement. Hello? Just tell that person. Tell it as though it is in confidence. That's when they will now take trumpet and broadcast it everywhere. So therefore, you don't have to pay for the announcement. Hallelujah. You know? But we are going to come to that. Okay. So let me leave it there. Today, we are going to take prayer point on this pillar. And I'm going to do a review right now. I thought I was going to cover prudence also, but I guarantee you I can't. So let me just leave it here. And I'll tell you another thing. This is the first time that I've preached for years in this church that I'm using my iPad. I've never done it. I normally use an index card that is like this, because I just write down some scriptures and preach from memory and from stuff. You know, I just preach. I never write down my sermons. You see me, I have carried these little index cards. That's it, just to write down the scriptures so I can get it in order in which I want it. But I just preach the rest of it by inspiration, actually, not just by knowledge, but by inspiration, you know. So, but this time around, I started to write down on my index card, and I'm like, this thing cannot fit. Because I wanted to go to the scriptures and go to the bottom of this thing. So I opened up a Word document on my computer and I started to type into it. And as the Lord will bring some stuff to my mind, I'll go back and I put in that Word document. And the thing was getting long. So I went back and tried to fit it. It wouldn't fit. It was just getting long. So I said, okay, just email it to yourself. And open it up on your iPad when you get to church. Hallelujah. So that's what I did last night. I said, well, I just did it to myself. So this is the first time you see me here with iPad. I don't do iPad. I don't do writing stuff down. But this one, because there was too many scriptures and there were too many applications, I just had to write it down so that I wouldn't. So I'll bring it in the flow. I have to bring it. And there's something we're developing here. There's something we're developing here. So let me stop you right here and then just throw out some questions. We're going to stop with this one pillar. Remember, I still have prudence and my goodness. I see the notes I have on prudence here and I see the benefits. Then when I go to knowledge, let me tell you, if you miss these teachings, well, let me put it this way. Let me not say it in a negative way. If you learn these teachings and apply them, it will be a game changer. Hallelujah. A game changer. The cracks, you know, there are many people that have cracks in their lives. Cracks. You know, just like that house, the pillar, the cracks, you know, and things are just not right because there are cracks. Cracks. And so when you start seeing cracks in the house, there's something wrong with the load-bearing columns. There's something wrong with the pillars. When you start seeing cracks in your life, there's something wrong with these pillars that we're talking about. Last time we talked about the attributes. This, you know, that's how, if you think you have wisdom, you've got to have those seven attributes we talked about. That's just that. But today we're talking about the applications of, you now bring that wisdom to apply them in real life. Wow. This is what it is.
So, you know, then I have counsel. You don't want to miss what we have to say on counsel. As a matter of fact, let me just give you some teasers right here before we pray. I see I have some few minutes left. I'll give you some teasers. You know. The next one that is coming is prudence. It is a great pillar of wisdom. We're going to cover that. And it has many, many, and there are some incredible things that I will say when I cover that prudence that you will actually wonder. That is this actually true or in the Bible? Yeah. You know, so it covers many areas of life. And we're going to cover it. You know. And prudence will even cover things like mismanagement of resources. Many people are blessed, but they mismanage and then become their end result is even worse. They come into a lot of wealth and so on. That's just teasers. Let me give you a teaser also. Did you know that, how many of you know the story of Luke 15? What's in that story? A famous story in Luke 15 called The Prodigal Son. Anybody know that story? Yeah. Prodigal Son. There was nothing wrong with the prodigal. A lot of people, traditionally we've been taught that prodigal son was foolish in asking for his inheritance. What's foolish about that? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Hello? There was nothing foolish. He asked what belonged to him. Give me the portion of my inheritance. That's all. There's nothing. All that traditional teaching that we've been taught that he was foolish, that was not where he was foolish. It wasn't in it. I'm going to be bringing some gems like this throughout this series. That was not why he was foolish. Getting what belongs to him, there was nothing foolish about that. It was his anyway. And he claimed it, and the father didn't even argue with him. He gave it to him, because it was his. And he divided it. He divided it. You take your own, this one's for your other brother. But his lack of prudence, hello, made him to squander every, that was his problem. The problem was not asking for those things. And that's, I bring that to you today. You know, at the beginning of this year, I started talking about, this will be a defining year. God's going to do tremendous things. You got to make the move. God is going to give you open doors and so forth. God will give you these things. But if you don't have prudence, and some of these things we'll be talking about, through mismanagement of your time, your skills, your talent, and resources, you will blow everything. And you'll be worse than before. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. So I'm going to be talking about skills. I'm going to talk about talent. I'm going to be talking about, you know, understanding. I'm going to be talking about all these things, you know, when we come. Management of these things. Those are just some teasers. We're going to talk about, and when we talk about knowledge, oh my goodness. We're going to talk about all these things. Knowledge. Did you know? Let me just say this as a teaser. Let me give you an illustration. And I've said it before in some of my preachings. Consider the ocean. Can you put up Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 for me? Consider the ocean. I didn't have that one here. I'm just saying that one. Okay, so that's the wrong verse. I think 14. Try 14. Because I didn't have it down. What's in verse 14? Okay, 14. That's the one. Habakkuk 2 and verse 14. He said, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Knowledge is power. Knowledge, in fact, but here's what I want to call, as the waters cover the sea. So, in this verse, that's not part of my subject. I just want to give you this teaser. In this verse, consider the ocean as the knowledge that God can give. That's right. Or the knowledge that you can acquire. And I will define knowledge. And consider what you have from that ocean right now as taking a bucket to the ocean. You can take a bucket to the ocean as many times as you want, and the ocean will not be depleted. That is how incredible knowledge is. You can keep learning more. You can keep learning more. Now, we're not talking about ever learning and not coming to the knowledge of the truth. No. Well, you will see what we're talking about when we get there. And, you know, we're going to talk about what, you know, the writer of the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, what he said. He said, look, I sought out knowledge. You know, even wisdom, the one we read, said, I seek out, you know, understanding of witty inventions. You know, and we're going to be talking about how knowledge can help you in your career. So you young people also pay attention. And if you are in the middle age stuff, pay attention as well. All of that we're going to be talking about. Then when we get to counsel, we're going to talk about, you know, how if you have this counsel, you can never be unemployed. I'm going to bring it out based on something that God showed me. If you have this counsel, you will never be unemployed. Even they lay everybody else off, they will keep you. Hallelujah. That's right. I'll come to that. Then when we talk about understanding, oh my goodness, understanding and insight, we're going to bring the natural and the spiritual applications in all these things. Understanding, Jesus said, look, in Matthew 13, when a person has heard the gospel of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, there is the seed that fell on the wayside and has no understanding, then the devil will come and pluck it out of their heart. That's how important understanding is. And then understanding in other things. So I'm just giving a teaser here. We'll come to others. Then discretion. Don't let me even go to that one. Sound judgment. Wow. Let me give you this right now. I'll just drop this. This will help you to come back when we do these teachings. Let me tell you about sound judgment. And then we're going to go into prayer on the fear of the Lord. Sound judgment. I have about 20 different things written down here. But let me just give you one of them. Many people don't know how to use sound judgment. It's also, it works also with prudence. Sound judgment and prudence, they all work together. You know, when people don't know how to make use sound judgment, they make the wrong decisions and they get into problem. Some people don't even know how to say no. People don't know how to say no because they don't know how to use sound judgment. I will refer you to the story in Matthew chapter 25. You can go and read it when you get home. Matthew 25. The story of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. Jesus told this story himself. But there was a combination of sound judgment and insight. I'll be talking about insight. And I'll be talking about different parts of insight. Hindsight, insight, and foresight. I'll be talking about all those. But I'll be talking about, you know, combination of understanding, you know, combination of insight to look at, predict the future from what has happened before and so on, you know. And then make sound judgment. People can make sound judgment. And sound judgment sometimes say, no. Hello? Give us some of your oil. Because we ran out. Do you know that if it is today, and somebody came to you and asked you, give some of your hair like that, and they're going to, they will come to church and say, you don't have any love. You don't have any love. Give me a little bit now. Just a little bit, and you have all this stuff. But they use sound, Jesus told this story himself. They use sound judgment, they use insight, they knew that, look, we don't know how much longer this man is going to wait, that we're waiting for. If we give you now, we are going to run out. They say no. Sometimes you have to learn to say no. Hallelujah. That's a teaser. I'll come to that later. So right now, I'm going to end it here. So I've given you some teasers on some of these things that we're going to... I have pages of these things that we're going to cover when we get there. But it's so hard to cover them in just 1 hour. So I may just do one pillar at a time. And I don't know when I'll get to you next, whenever I'm here. You know, because the Bible says, by that which every joint supplieth, that's how we are blessed, the body of God. So I'm not the only one that teaches here. We have several teachers. So, you know, I kind of just rotate it and let people preach so we can all learn. So I can't do it back to back. However, don't miss it when we do it. So here is the prayer point for today. We're going back to the fear of the Lord. So here is the prayer point. Let's stand up. And we're going to pray about this. There are two prayers that we're going to pray. First one we should have prayed at the beginning. I forgot. You know. But it's good. We pray now at the end so that you can understand.
I wanted us to pray at the beginning so that God will help us to understand where there are cracks in our lives. But if I pray that at the beginning, and you don't even know what the cracks are, you may not understand how to pray. So, there are two kinds of prayers we are going to pray now. The first one is, we're going to pray that these teachings will have the intended impact in our lives. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
It is not intended for me to have to shine as a good speaker. Forget that. You know. But the real impact in your life, you have to pray about that. And God needs to show you where those cracks are throughout these lessons. There'll be many cracks that you'll be finding out. Okay. That's one prayer. The second prayer, in fact, let's take that prayer first. Everybody, take that prayer. Because when I say the second one, you may forget the first one. Take that prayer. Lord, oh Lord, help me. Say it. Oh Lord, help me that these teachings may have the intended impact in my life. Show me, oh Lord, where those cracks are and how to fix them. In Jesus' name. That's the first prayer. The second prayer, we're going to take from two scriptures. We're going to take from Proverbs 23 and verse 17, and also Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Proverbs 23 verse 17 says, look, be in the fear of the Lord all day. Don't worry about what other people are doing that don't have the fear of the Lord. Don't copy them. Other scriptures, the book of Romans chapter 12 and so forth, will tell you, don't be conformed to the world. Don't worry about people that don't have the fear of the Lord. They're all over the place. They'll do anything they want. You don't worry about them. But you keep the fear of the Lord in your heart all the day long. Amen.
Amen.
When you listen to all of this, all the cracks in your business, all the cracks in your life, your finances, and all these things and so forth, even cracks in families and so forth, God will begin to show you and show you how they can be fixed. It's all in here. Praise the Lord. So we're going to say, Lord, teach me the fear of the Lord. And grant me the grace to always walk in the fear of the Lord. And to teach it to my children and their seed after them. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, if you can put that up. Let us hear, this is our memory verse. Let us say it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is what? The whole duty of man. And where is it found? So we are doing it like a teaching, Bible studies, Sunday school, whatever. You know, when you get a memory verse, there are two parts to a memory verse. The first part is what? The text, what does it say as the first part? The second part is what? The reference. Where is it in the Bible? So there's always two parts to a memory verse. What does the verse say and where is it? Amen?
Amen.
What does the verse say and where is it? So this verse, this is the... I can preach this thing for 52 weeks. But at the end of it, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why I picked this fear of the Lord as number one. I could have chosen prudence and all this other thing. No, this one is number one. Because that's the conclusion of the whole matter. So these two prayer points, take 5 minutes to pray. Keep standing. Take these 5 minutes to pray. You know, I led you in a brief summary of this prayer. But pray for yourself. I told you we're going to be praying about every one of these pillars. This pillar that I've heard today, in the name of Jesus, help me to put it into my life. Begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray. There's responsibility on you, if you're a parent, to teach your children this fear of the Lord. There's a responsibility upon you to keep his commandments. There's a responsibility upon you. The Lord is saying, oh, that the people may have fear of me. The Lord longs for this fear of the Lord. You know? The Lord longs, people say, oh, the Lord wants our praises. Well, he does too, but he wants the fear of the Lord in our hearts. Begin to pray for yourself. And I have prayed, you know, I couldn't even sleep because I've been waiting on the Lord and so forth. I've been praying for everyone that will hear this. That first of all, God will give you understanding. Understanding is so key. In all that getting, get understanding. It's so key. If you don't get understanding, the devil will come and pluck out the thing. That's the seed that fell on the wayside. I have prayed that nobody here will be the seed that fell on the wayside. Amen. Amen. You will have understanding and insight into these things. And there are even some deep things that we will bring out later. It takes understanding and takes insight. You know, but today, this was the beginning of the pillars, the seven pillars of wisdom. Now I'm going to pray over the house. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you. You've heard me say this scripture many, many times. The entrance of thy word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. I believe it's in Psalm 119 and verse 130. I quote that every time I come out here to preach. But I always quote only the first part. I just quote it briefly and then I pray. But it gives understanding to those that have an open mind. That's what the simple means there. Have an open mind. It doesn't mean the foolish. No. It means those that have an open mind. And they want to learn. Because you can't teach somebody who doesn't want to learn anything. You can't teach them anything. You know, if the teacher is doing the best in the class and the students don't pay any attention, they're just throwing tantrums and doing whatever. They can't learn anything. You know, so, Father, I pray for your people. I pray for myself, first of all. The Bible says the husbandman must be first partakers of the fruit. So anytime I preach here, I want to be a first partaker in Jesus' name. Amen. These things and these teachings, let them be real in my life. Because I don't want to be the least in the kingdom of God. The Bible says if you teach people and you yourself don't do it, you will be the least in the kingdom. So I don't want to be the least in the kingdom. So Father, I pray that I will not be the least in the kingdom in Jesus' name. And I pray that all my brothers and sisters, beloved, who have heard this word today and this teaching, will go back and search the scriptures like the Bereans to see whether these things are so. And then go back and enact them in their lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, give us the fear of the Lord. Teach us the fear of the Lord. Teach us the understanding of the holy. Because that's what the fear of the Lord brings. And teach us also, Lord, the grace, give us the grace to teach our children to put these things in their front legs, like glasses, all the time, wherever, at lunch, at wherever, put it right in their doorpost, everywhere, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We will be closing. I'm going to call the grace team in just a minute, but hold on for a minute. You know, there was something I said I was going to do. I can't do it because of time, but I want you to do it. Sit down for a minute. I want you to do it on your own. Do it on your own. Give yourself a test when you get home. See if you can remember these things. You know, I was going to do it and ask questions, but I was looking at the time. I said, no, time is fast spent. So we just leave it there. But do this for yourself. Do this for yourself. Ask yourself questions. Say, okay, what are these things? What did I learn today? And what do I expect to learn in upcoming series? Praise team, you may come up to the stage now. You know, so as we go home, let this go with you. In Jesus' name, amen.